Come right in.
Rock flag and eagle.
All right, welcome everybody back to another edition of Chair Gatin', your NASCAR podcast for Belly Up Sports. I'm your host, Rattlesnake, coming at you live once again from Austin, Texas. Excited to be back because over the weekend I had a very wet time at Darlington. And this is a really exciting episode because in the second half I'm going to have an interview with the reoccurring guest, ARCA driver Christian Eckes. We're going to talk about racing. We're going to talk about throwback NASCAR. We're going to talk about throwback ARCA. And we're going to talk a lot about fantasy football because that's what Christian likes the most. So hope you're excited for all that. But first, I'm going to talk a little bit about Darlington. What a great race. If anybody stayed up to actually watch this race, congratulations. It was wonderful. If you live on the East Coast, that sucks. If you live on the West Coast, I'm sure it wasn't that bad. The race was supposed to start at 6, I believe. So I show up very early with a group. We take a party bus from Myrtle Beach. It's about an hour and a half drive. On the bus, it's like an hour and 45. We get there at 2 o'clock, I think. And, you know, I'm definitely with the right connections because we're immediately chauffeured over to Austin Dillon's Hauler where we get, you know, the full tour of the Hauler from, you know, the wonderful people at RCR. And then we just get to sit and hang out and talk with the legend himself, Richard Childress. I mean, this guy is so personable, so friendly, so accommodating. You know, hardworking. The guy's always on the move, so it's nice for him to just get to sit and just chat with you for a while and just hear some of his stories. Really, really cool. And then Austin came up. We took some pictures with Austin, got to talk a little bit with him. He remembered doing the interview on the podcast, so that's cool. He could just be saying that, but very, very nice guy, nevertheless. Yeah, it was a great time. And then moved over, got to go inside the tent for the driver's meeting, and holy crap. I mean, I hope you follow me on Instagram, and if you don't, that's really weird because you listen to my podcast. I don't know why you would listen to the podcast and not follow me on Instagram. Maybe you're just a weird person. I don't know. That's your prerogative. But nevertheless, I did a live clip of that, so you got to see the most important part of the driver's meeting, which was them announcing the Hall of Famers. I mean, you know, Richard Petty, Richard Childress, Roush, Jeff Gordon, Bobby Lamonte, Rusty Wallace. I mean, the list goes on. It was incredible. And they're sitting all right there, right in front of me. And I was like, holy crap. I recorded the whole thing live on my Instagram. So like I said, if you don't follow me, I'm sorry, because I didn't see that recorded anywhere else. I think you can record that, but at the same time, you might not be supposed to be recording that. So now I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, shit, maybe I wasn't supposed to record that. I don't know. Either way, I recorded it. I don't really care. It was wonderful. It was incredible. Also, Dog the Bounty Hunter, he was there. Awesome guy, by the way. I talked to him at the airplane. He happened to be on my flight. From Myrtle to Charlotte the next day, him and his manager. And his manager was, I think it's his manager, the guy traveling with him. Really, really cool guy. Really nice. I talked to him, you know, throughout the flight, and even like talked to me afterwards because our next gate was like right next to each other. Very nice guy. And Dog the Bounty Hunter, really cool guy as well. He got up on stage and said something fairly controversial right away and then sat back down, and it was kind of funny. And I talked to him about it on the plane, and he said, you know, don't spread that around too much. Little does he know I had already posted it on my Instagram. So if you haven't seen that yet, go check out my Instagram and watch it. It's pretty funny. Yeah, Yeah, it's interesting. Anyway, a lot of fun. Then we get to go back to Richard Childress's RV and have dinner with some of the other sponsors of the team and some of the people from RCR, and we're just sitting there having like brats and hot dogs and hamburgers and whatnot. A lot of fun there. We go back and get to take pictures with Austin and his car, his incredible throwback paint scheme, by the way. I mean, Austin Dillon and RCR always do incredible throwback paint schemes. I talked about that with Austin in the interview that I did with him a few months ago. If you haven't listened to that episode, I recommend going back and checking it out, because I do have a really awesome interview with Austin Dillon, and we actually talk about his input on these paint schemes. And I unfortunately wasn't able to grab an interview this time, but we brought it up again when I was talking with him, and he does take that stuff pretty seriously. He actually has quite a bit of say when it comes to his paint schemes, which I think is awesome. So, you know, we're doing all that, and then we're literally, we head to the grandstands because, the people I was with, they wanted to go up and watch it from the grandstands, which is totally cool. I'm cool with that. You definitely, if you want to enjoy the race, that's, you know, honestly, that's how you should do it. Like, you're in the infield, what are you going to do? So anyway, we go back to the grandstands, and as we're walking back, it immediately just starts pouring. You know, it rained a little bit earlier, and, you know, we got quite a bit wet, but we were inside the tent for the driver's meeting, so it wasn't that bad. But it starts pouring, and then we look on the radar. It says it's going to rain for, like, another hour, 2 hours, and, you know, I'm with this big group, and not everybody there is a huge NASCAR fan, and it's an hour and a half just to get back to Myrtle. So, you know, I don't really have much of a say here, and they all want to leave because they're like, I don't know if this is gonna work out. And I'm also with really, really good close friend of Kurt Busch. So he was texting Kurt, and then I think even Ross Chastain's like crew chief, you know, just getting updates, just like what's going to go on. And it seemed like they weren't going to race. It was decided that we should head back. And I was hoping that they would just postpone the race till Monday. And what I was going to do with me and my wife, we were just going to push the flight back, try to get a later flight, and drive back to Darlington, an hour and a half back, and go to the race Monday. We still had the hot passes, you know, all that. So I was like, you know, this could be really cool, like a double opportunity to get to talk to some of these drivers and maybe even get an interview and this and that. But lo and behold, by the time we get back to Myrtle, they start the engines. And, I mean, it's sad to say, I missed the race. I watched the whole thing at home. But I'm very disappointed, I have to say, that I wasn't there for the race, considering I flew all the way out there just to go to this race. I considered, you know, if I should drive back out there that extra hour and a half, but the 3-hour round trip and, you know, with my wife, it just wasn't going to work, unfortunately. Great race, though. Incredible race. A lot of fun. Congrats to Eric Jones. I got some pictures with him. I got some pictures with Austin, Bob. I'm going to be posting those also. I've been posting stuff kind of here and there on my Instagram at ChairGaten, so definitely go follow me there for all this content, because I got a lot of it from that race. And I tweeted this, you know, the next day. I honestly think Darlington has to be considered one of those bucket list races for any NASCAR fan. I feel like it's a little overlooked or overshadowed when it comes to these, like, quote-unquote, like, must-go-to races. But the Southern 500 at Darlington on Labor Day or Labor Day weekend, it's a night race, historic track, throwback paint schemes. Everybody's dressed up in throwback. It's really fun. Like, the whole atmosphere is just fun. The drivers are having fun. The crews are having fun. The fans are having... Everybody's rocking, like, mustaches, mullets, you know. It's just fun. It's a good time. And then, you know, on top of that, the racing is actually good, as you saw here. So, I mean, I think it's got to be considered a must-go-to race. Because, yeah, like I said, you got good racing. You have a lot of fun with the throwback paint schemes. It's a night race. And most importantly, the crowd. And this is something that, you know, I want to talk about especially, was the crowd. As everybody noticed, you know, NASCAR has been struggling with attendance, right? There's no surprise there. They've definitely done better. You know, people make it sound a lot worse than it really is. You know, TV viewership aside, like, attendance isn't as bad as people are making it seem. It's better than it has been. You know, the Bristol night race was great. You know, so people like to focus on the negatives. I understand. But nevertheless, NASCAR has struggled with attendance from where it once was. And I don't think anybody would argue that. But that's not the case at Darlington. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe it's just South Carolina. Like, I know North Carolina loves NASCAR. But honestly, North Carolina might have changed too much. I don't think it's quite the same as it used to be. You know, it's not as NASCAR, maybe, you know, I don't want to say anything too negative about North Carolina. Clearly, they still love their NASCAR, but maybe that's shifted a bit towards South Carolina. I mean, when you're in South Carolina, I think people just love NASCAR. And, you know, I that was obvious, right? It was reported that it was a sellout crowd. It was reported while I was in the driver's meeting. They announced it's officially a sellout crowd. And I was looking around and I was like, I believe it. You know, pit road was packed, cram-packed. It was about to pour rain and people were packed in there. I could barely walk around, you know, bumping into people. It was so packed. And that's for people with hot passes. I was looking up in the stands hours before the race and they were, you know, full. And then it gets delayed because of the rain for 4 hours. It's already a night race. And this night race is delayed 4 hours. In any other place, that place would be half empty when the race finally starts, right? Any other track, nearly any other track, maybe not every, but pretty much any other track, that it would be half empty by, you know, 4 hours later after rain delays. Everybody's wet, pissed off, they just want to go home. You know, they've been waiting too long for this anyway. No, 4 hours later, at Darlington, after it pours rain, and y'all don't understand, it was pouring. There was, like, floods and rivers, like, outside. Through, we were trying to walk through. My shoes are completely ruined. I'm walking through puddles, you know, halfway up my calves. It was raining hard. So these people wait in that. And you don't also understand, I was in the grandstands, and we were all, like, hiding underneath the stands. And it was, there was no breeze, and it was hot and sweaty, and it smelled like sweaty balls. I'm going to be honest, that's what it smelled like. I don't mean to be crude, but that's exactly what it smelled like, and anybody that knows that smell knows exactly what I'm talking about. It was terrible. It was hot, humid, smelled like sweaty balls, everybody's crammed together. It was awful. People waited in that for 4 hours, and did you see how many people were still there? It was practically a sold-out crowd still. I was like, did anybody leave? Were we the only people that left this race? I mean, it was incredible. And I'm not saying they need to run more races there or anything. You know, I think maybe it's like that because they only do run that one race, and it is on Labor Day weekend, and it is the throwback paint schemes. So it's like a perfect mixture. But that just goes to show that there are places and people that are as dedicated to NASCAR as they are to college football or the NFL or anything else. You know, there is still that crowd for NASCAR. You just got to find it and tap into it. So it was incredible, the whole experience. Even though I didn't even get to watch the race, it was just like, gives you chills, you know. It's a great place to go, you know. We're going to say Talladega, right, for, I guess, these like bucket list tracks. Maybe in the next episode, maybe I'll have somebody come on and we'll go through bucket list races. Not just tracks, but like specific races. That's not a bad idea. Maybe I'll look into that. Next week, I won't have an episode. I'll be at my sister's wedding in Florida. Pray that I don't get blown away from the hurricane. So, yeah. Gonna miss a week this coming up next week. Sorry about that. You won't get to hear my beautiful, soothing voice. But what you could do is listen to another one of my older episodes just to remind yourself how great I've been for this long. I mean, that's pretty impressive that I've been so good for this long. Just something to think about. So, yeah. I mean, off the top of my head, though, for those races, I would say Talladega, the Geico 500. I mean, that's the one that everybody goes to, right? You know, Daytona 500, Bristol Night Race. I don't know. There's so many other ones. I'm sorry. I'm not going to get into it. But all I'm saying is that the Southern 500 should be considered as one of those races. But before we get into the interview, one last thing I wanted to go over. I promised in a tweet that I would tell a story that Richard Childress personally told me at the number three hauler. We were talking about golf. Him and Austin and Ty, they're really big golfers. They're very like competitive, athletic type people, as you would imagine. So they're really big into golf. And I was just talking about, I was like, hey, you know, I live in Austin, Texas, and last weekend I played at Willie Nelson's golf course, just outside Austin in the Hill Country. And I was just telling him about the golf course, and I was like, it's a 9-hole course. You can, you know, you don't even have to wear shoes. You don't have to wear shirts. You can take your dog out there. There's essentially no rules. You can play with as big and as a party you want, as many people as you want. There was a party of, I think, 17 people for a bachelor party while I was out there. They're all in Hawaiian shirts that were way unbuttoned. And they would just, you kind of skip holes and play wherever you want. So like, a, you know, you roll up to a group of 17 playing one hole that's like a par 5 on a 9-hole course, and you're like, all right, screw this, I'm not dealing with this. So you just skip them and play whatever hole you want, really. So it's kind of like that, and you play as many times as you want. For $20, you get a cart. They're redoing their greens, so there's essentially no greens right now. The grass is pretty bad, so you know the balls just roll. It's really just it's just like a fun place to go play golf. But it is owned by Willie Nelson. I mean, the whole clubhouse smells like weed when you walk in there. It's hilarious because they're literally smoking in the clubhouse. Anyway, you know, Richard's laughing about it, saying like, man, I wish I would have done something like that. Maybe my golf course would have stayed around. And I was like, ooh, sore subject. Didn't know about that. Anyway, he was like, let me tell you a funny story about Willie Nelson. I was like, of course he's met Willie Nelson. Damn. So back in, what was it? It was, I think, in the 80s. I think Dale Earnhardt had just maybe won. Did he win a championship or something? You know, I think he won a championship. It was anyway, it was when Dale Earnhardt was driving the Wrangler car. And they were doing a photo shoot. Richard Childress, Dale Earnhardt, and Willie Nelson were doing a photo shoot. I mean, just imagine that setup. And him, Richard Childress, and Dale had just come back from hunting in BC, I think he said, like out in Canada. And they just came back and they went to the Wrangler headquarters out in Greensboro. And they were supposed to meet up with Willie Nelson, and Richard was saying how excited he was about it. He was like, man, that's kind of cool. You know, I hope this guy comes out in a cowboy hat and everything. And he actually met them at the limo. Like, the limo pulled up, Willie Nelson got in with them two already in there, and he was like wearing a baseball hat and a members only jacket, like a black jacket. And apparently that was like just his disguise back in the day. And he hops in the limo and immediately, without like saying anything, just lights up a joint and like hands it over to Richard Childress and Willie and Dale Earnhardt, and they both just like start laughing, and they're like, "Nah, man, we're good. We're just like drinking whiskey today or whatever." And that could just be Richard Childress saying that nowadays. I mean, in hindsight, he could have, him and Dale could have accepted that. I don't know. All I'm saying is, it was a pretty funny story, and Richard Childress seemed to really enjoy Willie Nelson. I think he said they even played golf once again after that. I didn't get that story, unfortunately. But just a funny story about Richard Childress turning down a joint from Willie Nelson. Richard Childress and Dale Earnhardt turning down a joint from Willie Nelson. You're crazy. You're out of your mind if you do that. Anyway, that was story time. Hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, great time in Darlington. Everything was wonderful. This episode might be a little bit longer, but that's because it's a great interview. I had a great time at Darlington, so I'm going to talk about it. And you don't get an episode next week. So if you even want to pause it like halfway and just enjoy the episode the week after, you know, do whatever you want. Either way, episode's going to be a little bit longer. And let's get right into the interview. All right, very excited to welcome on my most reoccurring ARCA guest. Christian, good to have you back on, man.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. These are always a lot of fun for me, so looking forward to it.
Who told you to say that? That, like, to lie and say that you have fun on these?
My brain.
Well, yeah.
No, thank your brain. These are fun.
Yeah, we'll talk some football. I know that's what you're going to want to talk. But the reason we had to bring you back on, there's a couple reasons, right? Number one, Darlington, it's the whole throwback paint scheme. Everybody, you know, we're all talking about throwback stuff. And we're going to get into that. But also, I want to talk about you just won the last ARCA race, correct?
Yeah, yeah, the coin, dirt track.
Right. And so that's your third win of the season. And what's important about that is now you're 70 points behind Michael Self, your teammate, also interviewed him on the show. Awesome dude. But you're close behind him to win the series. There's only three races left, right?
Yeah, three more. We got Salem, Lucas Oil, and Kansas.
Okay, and correct me if I'm wrong, but last year, didn't you win at Salem and Indianapolis?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's actually kind of funny. Michael's won at Salem and Kansas, and I've won at Salem and Lucas Oil. So we kind of have a lot of experience in the next two, so it should be interesting in that aspect, just kind of both of us, you know, having a lot of experience in the next three.
Okay, can you help break down, dummies like me, help break down the point system for ARCA and, like, how many points you get for a win?
Dude, I don't know. Honestly, I think it changes every race, but I'm pretty sure it's 15 points if you win over second, and then it's 5 for leading the most, 5 for leading a lap, and then 5 for the pole. But like I said, it seems like it changes every week, so I'm not really sure.
Okay, but 70 points is definitely within, like, reach for three races, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think the max we can make up on if you finish the second every race is 30 points. So,
And that's, yeah, that's definitely attainable. Finish first and he finishes second?
Yeah, per race it's right. About 30 points. So, okay. You know, it's definitely obtainable. We just got to be perfect for the next three. And, you know, it's going to be really tough because, you know, we run the top three every week and so does Michael. So.
Right.
We've kind of fought all year back and forth. You know, he won the last one, and I won this one, and I won the one before that. I think he won the one before that. So, you know, it's been back and forth. But, you know, I finally feel like we're in a good spot here for momentum purposes. And, you know, the two racetracks we got coming up with Salem and Lucas Oil have been good to me in the past. So, should be interesting for sure.
Yeah, because he has, what, 4 wins and you got 3? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yep.
Man, things are heating up. That's pretty exciting. Yeah. And you said he's won in Kansas, but you haven't. And that's the season finale, mm-hmm. right? That's the championship.
Yeah.
Well.
So.
Yeah.
Probably come down to that, which I wish it ended at Lucas Oil or something, but, right. You know, we just got to do what we got to do.
Yeah. Man, that's exciting. Is Michael going to be running a throwback paint scheme?
I don't think so. I'm not really sure. I think it's just me and Chandler, but not 100% sure on that. So,
okay, because that's the next thing I want to talk about is your throwback paint schemes, which are pretty sick, if I do say so. You want to talk a little bit about your throwback paint schemes?
Yeah. You know, we've wanted to do something for Big Bill, and You know, we were actually able to do it for both cars, so it was pretty special. And you know, it's definitely cool to be able to have his championship short track car. Hopefully, it brings us that extra little luck, and hopes it brings us a championship as well. So, yeah, I'm running Bill's short track championship car, and I think Chandler's doing like one of his old USAC cars or something like that. So, it's pretty interesting. And like I said, I hope that both me and Chandler can run good for Big Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I was seeing here that you're running his 87 championship car, and Chandler's running 78, the black, and you're doing the white.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have, like, any say in who gets what paint scheme, or did they just randomly assign them?
You know, I think I might have had a little bit more influence in mine because I've been there for so long. You know, in my opinion, it's a little bit more special of a car than the one that Chandler's running, so... you know, I kind of feel a little bit honored to run that car, but at the same time, I think it more had to do with the black and white, you know, the cars being different and stuff like that, and then the orange kind of matching. You know, he had orange numbers, Big Bill did, and the championship car, so it kind of just all meshed together.
So, like, the JBL, like, that was going to be orange anyway, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, cool. Man, that is a sick looking car. I love when y'all do, you know, any kind of drivers do throwback stuff. And, you know, I was just at Darlington. I got to see all the, you know, sweet throwback paint schemes. Do you have a favorite, you know, legendary driver, retired driver, you know, a specific car that you have in mind that you love?
I mean, I got to go with the Richard Petty ones. You know, that blue and everything was just so damn cool to see, like, especially when, you know, the 43 throws it back. And, you know, the Adam Petty throwback this week was super special to see. And, you know, it just seems like they kill it every year. They're really damn cool with, you know, the 43 and it being blue and everything. It's just, it's really cool to see and just kind of puts the whole weekend together, in my opinion.
All right. I totally agree with you. Everybody loves... you know, the Richard Petty scheme. But I got to throw a wrench in there. Tell me what you think. The problem with the Richard Petty schemes, other than this year they went outside the box. But my issue with those Richard Petty schemes is, after you've seen, like, one, you've seen them all. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but it's a little bit so of cool different it doesn't blue matter. And orange. Like, it looks so damn cool that it really doesn't matter, in my opinion. I mean,
I don't know.
Like, it just looks cool, that blue out there. I mean... it's pretty badass, so.
See, I would rank above it Jeff Gordon, throwback schemes.
Yeah, the Rainbow Warrior, was it last year or two years ago or something? Was really damn cool.
Last year, so. I think, was the Rainbow Warrior. And then, like, Kozlowski and all the different Rusty Wallace schemes. I love those.
That too, yeah.
All the Dale Earnhardt schemes.
Mm-hmm.
Except this year, I mean, Austin was in the Richard Childress one, which was really cool. So, yeah, those are a couple that I would personally rank above the Richard Petty scheme, just because I just feel like you're like, oh, I've seen them all now. Other than this year, obviously. This year was much different.
Yeah, I mean, this year was... I mean, I thought the Jimmy Johnson one was really cool, too. And it almost, like, hinted towards retirement or something. I don't like that too much.
Man, but. I feel like all his stuff has been hinting towards retirement.
Yeah, I don't like it. I know, I'm not a fan of it.
He was sitting like
it did look cool.
He was sitting like right next to me in the driver's meeting in the tent for Darlington.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just so in awe. I was like, oh man. And
he's a celebrity, dude.
I'm just like, oh my god, that's Jimmy Johnson. I'm like talking to all these other drivers, but once it was Jimmy Johnson, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, no, I met him a couple times, but I met him last year for the first time, and, like, I wanted to say something, like, oh, man, you're my hero, but, like, I couldn't, like, the words wouldn't come out. Like, I was just in awe. It's Jimmy freaking Johnson, you know?
You're, like, trying to be cool, but
the complete opposite. Yeah, you're trying to be cool, but at the same time, you want to say, like, oh, man, like, you're my hero, but, you know, in the same time, you're sitting there, and you're like, hello, hi, how are you?
hello? Man, I got to also...
I stuttered a little bit, if we're being honest. It's okay, though.
That's great. Dog the Bounty Hunter was there. And
who's that?
Dog the Bounty Hunter? You know, you used to never watch his show?
I don't think so.
The dog. The big bad dog. The dude from Hawaii, the bounty hunter. He has like the long blonde hair. Man.
It was a classic show
back in the day. And he's coming out with like a new show, I guess. Anyway, the story's not as cool because you don't know who I'm talking about. And you're making me feel really old right now. And I'm not old, so thanks a lot.
Wait, when was that show out?
I don't know. Not that long ago. You weren't like... I mean, you might have been kind of young, actually. Now I'm thinking about it. Damn it. Just forget the whole thing. Because I was going to like brag about getting to talk to a celebrity, but now you're like, who the hell is that? And so the whole thing's ruined.
I have no idea who... Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Yeah, Dog the Bounty Hunter. Oh my gosh. I would play the intro, but I feel like I'll get in trouble. So.
Yeah, no idea.
Okay. Well, that was going to be my story of who I got to talk to and meet. Thought that was kind of cool.
Well, sorry I ruined it.
You did ruin it. You ruined it. Yeah. Thanks a lot, man.
Sorry.
Also, check this out. A little recap. The last time me and you chatted, I was talking about how, by the way, thank you for the retweet on the interview last time.
I'm true to my word, man.
Yeah, thank you. You're like, I'm not going to do it this time, but last time, you're welcome. No, remember last time I called out a couple people that ghosted me, right?
Mm-hmm.
That didn't retweet me.
Yeah.
So at Darlington, I got to talk to two of the three people that ghosted me, Austin Dillon and Bob Pockers.
Yep.
And I was too chicken shit to bring up to either of them.
Oh my God. Yeah. Come on, man.
I know. I was just like, hey, Bob, good to see you. And like took a picture with him. And he's like, hey, I had a good time on the podcast. He even said the podcast. And I was like, oh man, thanks. Then he walked away and I was like, oh, God damn it. That was just brutal. And then I like talked to Austin for like quite a while, him and his grandfather. You know, I had great conversations, never brought it up once.
Disappointed in you, man.
I'm disappointed in myself. I figured you would definitely be disappointed in me, but I just wanted to, you know, air that out there, and be open and honest with my disappointments. So, sorry about that.
That's all right. You'll get them next time.
I'll get them next time. I'm going to be more prepared next time.
It'll be about 3 years later. But you know, it'll be all right.
Whenever I actually, you know, if this ever, you know, blows up and I start to, you know, make a name for myself, then I have a little clout, then I'll be a little more confident.
Yeah, there you go.
But until
that'll
then,
be good.
I'll just be kind of a coward about it. Okay, so let's talk football. You are playing fantasy right now. Who's in your league? Also, you got to tell us who you drafted, because you told me before we started recording, and it's pretty hilarious. It's not Andrew Luck, for anybody listening. That would be so much more funny. But
We drafted after he got retired. So.
Yeah, good call.
That was a good thing, because I actually was going to draft him, but in every single mock draft I did, he was there. So, good thing.
Okay, so
but,
who's in your league? Who are you playing with? Any recognizable names we would know?
Actually, I play with Michael in a few leagues.
Okay.
I get into it pretty hardcore.
Are you better than Michael, or?
I don't know. We'll find out this year. This is the first time I've played with him, so.
Okay.
He's pretty damn good, though. You know, we don't really have a lot to do with our lives, so that's just kind of what we do on a daily basis. So.
When I talked to him, he was kind of cocky about his fantasy. He was pretty cocky.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna lie. He was.
It's pretty terrible when like you get the notification and you're like you're going and you're trying to get to the app as fast as you can to pick up the backup player. The guy gets hurt, and Michael's already got him. Like
who
3 minutes before I even get the notification. Like, I don't remember who it was last year, but
oh,
I was so
was
mad
last year?
Because
okay.
I was like, oh, I'm on it. I'm on it this year. I'm on it. I found it, and Michael already had it. So. He's on his game, and so this year I took over somebody else's league or team, and they were horrible. So I had the first pick. I kept Odell because there really wasn't any options. I think the best two are Odell and Dalvin Cook. So off the rip, which in this league, I was very pissed off because there was a couple people that kept quarterbacks that shouldn't have been kept. Like Mahomes, yeah, sure. You know, that one makes sense. But there was the people that, you know, kept Baker Mayfield, which you could probably get in like the fifth or sixth round. And there was one that kept Tom Brady that had no idea about fantasy football and that he could have probably got him on the waivers. But besides
the
point. Yeah,
he just knows the name Tom Brady and was like, oh, hell yeah, I got the best player in the
league. He was like, yeah, dude, that's exactly what he told me too after. And so that left, and this was a hard decision for me, but and the fact that if I went wide receiver with Odell and DeAndre Hopkins was available, it would have made my running back so crap when I came back around that I was like, all right, I got to just bite the bullet and hope Zeke comes back. So I drafted Zeke, and that has put me through a world of hurt the past few weeks because I get really excited every time my phone buzzes because I think I'm getting a notification for it.
Wait, so did you
just to be let down?
Did you draft Zeke instead of Hopkins?
Yes, I did. It's a half PPR, so
okay.
Gotta go running back.
Yeah, okay.
You have to.
That's fair.
And Zeke, if he's there, is better than DeAndre points wise in a half PPR. So
right.
It's hard.
Also, the Texans have the worst O line in the league. I mean, Hopkins, in my opinion, is the best wide receiver in the league.
It was still, he was my clear-cut number one. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I couldn't give up the chance for Zeke. So my team is either hero or zero right now.
Man.
I drafted, and it was the first-rated team in the entire league. And as soon as Zeke went out and all his points were lost, it went from first to, I think, ninth. So. Not good. It's a 12-person league, so we're not making the playoffs right now.
Okay,
But I keep getting notifications that they have a contract in the works. It just needs to be signed, and he's practicing tomorrow. So fingers crossed. And also, Cowboys only have 3 running backs on their depth chart right now. And it was 2. So it's been a little bit of a roller coaster of emotions here the past week.
Okay. Yeah, as of, like, 20 minutes ago, looks like Ezekiel Elliott likely to land a new contract extension in the very near future. The immediate concern has become whether or not he'll be ready to take full workout load or full workload during season opener against the Giants. So,
yeah,
I mean, it sounds like he will be playing, but maybe not against the Giants.
Yeah, he'll be back by week 3. I'm hopeful that it's week 1, but
because he just came back from somewhere, brutal. Right?
From Cabo, yeah.
Okay, so I saw
When he's been holding out, he's been working out in Cabo, I guess. So.
Working out in Cabo.
Yeah.
Right. That's what normal people do in Cabo. Okay.
Just pumping iron in Cabo. I don't know.
Okay, can you unbiasedly, say your opinion about the situation with Zeke and the Cowboys, or are you going to be too biased because of your fantasy team to even answer anything?
Well, the problem is he has no leverage. He still has 2 years left on his rookie contract. Like, he has no leverage at all. Like, literally, the Cowboys can make him never play another down in football because it's just going to go back a year and back a year and back a year and back a year. He owes them 2 years no matter what. So it really comes down to what the Cowboys want. I mean, are they going to give up on a good player, or are they just going to kind of, you know, pay the guy and get it over with? But in the same time, you're going to have to pay the guy anyways. So, I mean, it's hard to tell. I mean, it's just I don't know.
It's dumb. Right.
He just needs to sign the damn thing.
That's
for
my thing.
Biased opinion.
No, that's my thing, too. It's like, I understand you want more money, but, like, you still have time left on this contract, and
He's still got 2 years left on his rookie contract. I mean, he needs to just play it out, and he'll get a good chunk of change. I mean, he's probably just going to get a good chunk of change now, but, I mean, he probably could make more by just waiting 2 years and getting a bigger contract then than now. So, hard to tell. But he's just come down. In my biased opinion is he just needs to sign the damn thing and get on the field so I don't lose a lot of money.
How much is this league costing you, if you don't mind me asking?
It's a $100 buy-in.
Okay.
You can do a lot with $100. I mean, that's like 10 lunches.
That's like 10 lunches? Yeah, that's true. That is like 10 lunches.
It's like 10 lunches. I mean, that's a lot.
Yeah, I'm
If Zeke comes back, I got a really good shot at winning that money and some. So,
who's on the rest of your team?
Hang on. Well, I'll go through it. So, I waited a while to pick up a quarterback because I was trying to do that. I mean, there's so many that were kept that by the time that I wanted to draft one in the eighth round, they were all gone. So, I have Big Ben, Zeke, Chris Carson, Odell, Amari Cooper, Evan Ingram, T.Y. Hilton, Tyler Lockett, Peyton Barber, the Jags defense, and Justin Tucker. My bench is not very good, so I'll just go with the starters. Okay. It's actually going to be a really, really good team if Zeke comes back.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a team. Okay.
So, just kind of hoping Zeke comes back for now. And I'll have to see what happens.
Well, I'm not playing fantasy this year.
No? Why not?
No. Just took up too much time and effort. You know, I'm busy. Oh, yeah. I got to pay attention.
I love it, dude.
I got to pay attention to NASCAR and other racing series. Like, I can't take too much time away from that. And then, just for, like, enjoyment, what sport I like to watch the most is college football.
Yeah.
So if I'm, like, choosing to watch football, it's always going to be college. I used to just play fantasy just, you know, because it gave me something to do and be interested in, but, yeah.
Yeah.
It takes up too much time.
I mean, it's kind of cool, like, you know, you become more of a fan of the games and the players and stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of cool, you know, having money on the line and stuff like that. Like, you got to pay attention to the players, and it's fun to watch with something on the line. So, I mean, football's a blast to watch anyways, but, you know, it kind of makes it a little bit more fun when you got fantasy to do too.
Oh, yeah, 100% agree. I just was inevitably going to lose money regardless, so I'm like, eh.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, if I lose my money this year, I'll probably just, you know, cut it off, just playing free leagues.
No, you won't.
It's my first year, like, actually playing for money and stuff. But in the same mind, I might get addicted and just kind of get more leagues that cost money next year. You never know.
Well, I did promise Michael I would get him on a Belly Up Sports fantasy podcast where they just talk about fantasy football. So maybe I can get you and Michael on there. That might be cool.
Oh, that'd be perfect.
And then y'all could kind of, like, talk shit about, you know, playing each other on the weeks and stuff. That would be pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah, no. I'm a huge football fan, and I'm getting into fantasy hardcore this year. I even made a cheat sheet, color-coded and everything for my drafts. I mean, full-on professional this year.
Yeah, we got some podcasts and with Belly Up Sports that I think you'd really like to talk with, because I think you'd fit in with them.
Yeah. It's fun, man. I like the podcast, but, like, talking about football is fun. Like, and finally, like, I mean, like, racing is fun to talk about, but, I mean, I really like some football.
No, I understand. When, like I said, when college football season was, like, back on, I was like, you know, obviously I was excited to be at Darlington. Well, personally, I went to the University of Houston, so I'm always going to be a U of H fan.
Gotcha.
But because, you know, we're not in the SEC or anything, it makes it a little bit easier to watch all the other games a little bit more unbiased, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't have a dog in the fight in the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big 12 or the ACC or the PAC. So I can watch it fairly unbiasedly and just enjoy the games.
See, like, the thing about football is games are really bad games. Like, it seems like the really good games don't come around until, like, the championship comes. But, like, I mean, I saw a score the other day. I don't know. It might have been Penn State or Duke. I'm not really sure who it was. They beat somebody else by, like, 70 points.
Like, that's... Duke played Alabama.
Points. It wasn't that then. It was. It might
are
have
you
been
talking
Penn
about...
It was, like, 79-9.
Penn State, Idaho? Yeah, 79-9, Penn State, Idaho.
Yeah, like, that's insane.
Yeah, I mean... It's week one. There'll usually be a couple really good matchups, and then the rest are going to be bullshit. But next, or this coming up weekend, there's going to be some really good matchups. A&M Clemson, LSU Texas. Like, there's some good, really, really fun matchups. I kind of wish I was staying in Austin just to tailgate for that LSU-UT game, because that's going to be wild.
Yeah.
Because that's number 6 versus number 10. But,
yeah,
I love college football. And I think maybe, like, have you gone to any big college football games?
Never.
That's
never have.
I think that's the thing. You got to go, like, experience. Because when I was in college, I'd go to the games every single weekend. I was in a fraternity. We would tailgate. Like, you really just fall in love with it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess that would make it more fun.
Right. I think you fall in love with the atmosphere and the culture of college football more than anything.
Wow.
The excitement of the game.
I just got a notification that Jared Goff's going to get paid $32 million a year.
Damn. Wow. What?
Yeah, I don't know if that's worth it or not, but sure.
Good for him.
Yeah, no. He got paid. It's good. But
all right, so
yeah, no. Not a huge college football fan yet.
Yeah, you got to go to it. You're living in Charlotte, right?
I got to get a team though. I mean, I don't want to like pick the best team. I got to find like something like the Broncos, how I like the horse. I got to find something like that.
What you got to do
even if they're trash.
What you have to do is go to a college football game somewhere, and if you have a really good time, then that just becomes your team.
Yeah.
Because you can
lose. Like, if we went to one that was like Alabama and some shit state or something, like, that the one that's terrible is the one I'm picking. I mean, it's great.
Well, UNC, I believe, just beat South Carolina, right?
Yeah.
I mean, apparently UNC's not that bad right now at football, so maybe you can try to go to a game there. NC State has a pretty fun football environment. I mean, North Carolina is not an ideal college football state. Obviously, it's college basketball, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What even is the ideal state? Alabama? Like, the Mississippi, Alabama?
Texas.
What?
Yeah, are you kidding me? We got the biggest football stadiums, the biggest colleges. Yeah.
Hmm.
That's not even a competition. I'm just telling you factually.
I mean, like, I feel like it's that Southeast, like the Louisville. Well, no, Louisville's not even Southeast.
Yeah, that's in Kentucky. Look, Alabama.
I might
give it to Alabama just because they have Alabama and Auburn, and they don't have professional sports.
And Ole Miss. It's kind of there in a way. So
Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Like, Mississippi definitely loves their college football, but the problem is they're never good at it. So, like, how much can you love something that never actually compete in? At least in Texas, we have competitive programs that, like, you know, compete for national championships. We have University of Texas, the Longhorns. We have A&M and the SEC, the Aggies. Obviously, those are the two premiers. But then we have, like, TCU, Texas Tech, Baylor, University of Houston, SMU. I mean, we got a shit ton.
Yeah, TCU. I've been there before. It's pretty sweet. I've been in their facility.
Nice campus.
Yeah. No, they actually, I was there to do some stuff for racing. Like, they do all these tests and stuff like that.
It's really?
Honestly, pretty impressive. Like, all the technology they have and everything for all
at
their
TCU
athletes.
TCU for racing?
Yeah.
Those rich kids in Fort Worth? That's surprising.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's honestly pretty impressive, all the technology that, like, they have going into, like, the injuries and stuff like that, and all the machines they have that can kind of tell everything. And, like, they had this, like, body scanner that, like, scanned your entire body and, like, had a printout of all where the fat is and everything, and it was super high tech.
I do not want to get in that thing. I just hate fried chicken, too.
It was pretty snazzy, though.
You just saying, print out where your body fat is. That shit's going to go off
pretty
the...
Much.
Yeah.
There it is. There's that piece of fried chicken right there.
Yep. They're like, come on, man. How old are you? And I'm like, yeah, I know. Okay,
that's
so
funny.
Wrapping things up, you got 3 races left.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's you and Michael competing for the championship this year.
Yeah.
Who should I be rooting for, you or Michael?
Well, obviously me.
Okay. I mean, I'll give you
is
this.
Is that even a question?
I'll give you this. You've come on twice.
I've been on your show twice, and Michael's yes, exactly.
So
he's only been on once.
Yeah, I mean,
so
I think you got a point here. What you need to be concerned about is if I get Michael on again.
Yeah. I mean, that's okay, though. I mean, this show's cool enough that I'd probably come on twice if I was
okay. Michael. I'll text you if that happens. I don't want there being bad blood. And I'll text you and be like, look, I might have Michael on here. You know, I don't want us to have problems.
Yeah, I mean, if you have him on twice, just ask Siri heads or tails. I'm always heads. That's just how it is.
Okay.
That's actually a really good feature. Like, if you're trying to decide to go somewhere, just ask Siri heads or tails.
Like, on my phone?
And then you,
How do you, like, how do you do that?
You just ask her.
Yeah, but that's how do you ask on your phone? How do you, like, do the Siri thing?
It's like the side button. You hold it.
I hold the side button.
Yeah. If it's like an iPhone X, you hold the side button or, like, the power button, I think, maybe. Or the home button.
I'm holding it. Nothing's happening.
Or try the home button.
I don't have a button at the bottom.
So it's an iPhone X?
Siri, heads or tails?
Oh, yeah. You got it.
No, that didn't work, man.
It didn't?
No.
It worked for me.
It just, like, searched something. Are you sure?
Well, yeah. No, I do all the time. Just say heads or tails, not even Siri. See what happens.
Just say heads or tails?
Yeah.
Heads or tails? No, it's just like searching things on the internet.
No. Well, Siri doesn't like you, apparently.
Man, that's a bummer.
She likes me. She always says heads or tails.
You know what this feels like now? This feels like a young person explaining to an old person how to work their phone. This is getting out of hand.
I don't know why.
First, you said
it won't work for you.
You didn't know Dog the Bounty Hunter. Now you're having to explain to me how an iPhone works. Dude.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to get off this podcast
to bring up Siri
and start like applying for AARP or something. Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
What the hell, man?
Well, at the moment, I'm rooting for you to win it all.
Perfect.
You have the throwback paint scheme, so I'm definitely giving you the edge there.
Yeah. I mean, he didn't even bother to do one. I mean, that's obviously clear-cut me ahead there.
That's kind of lazy. That is kind of lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brutal.
He's getting real cocky with the dinosaur.
I mean, he could have done, like, an old-store dinosaur, like, even more prehistoric, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, that's not the original dinosaur. There's older dinosaurs.
Yeah, exactly.
And see, he's not even thinking. If he was on the show, all this would have been cleared up, and he wouldn't be looking like a fool right now.
That's right.
All right, well, Christian, thanks for coming on once again. We're rooting for you, and I'm gonna try to get you hooked up with one of the other fantasy football podcasts, or I might
Perfect.
Just if that doesn't work, I might just have you and Michael on this one, and I'll just say screw it, we're just doing a whole episode of fantasy football.
That works too. Whatever, man, I'm in for it.
Okay, cool. All right, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate it, man.
Later, man. Peace. It was a straight shot. All it took was luck to not get caught. Boil up some Mountain Dew. It's gonna be a long night.